In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We've had so much going on in the last few years that it's easy to detect among those around us a sense of panic, that we are heading in a very bad direction, and despair. And there's a psalm that addresses this question. St. Athanasius the Great wrote an epistle about the Psalms, and he sort of summarized what each psalm does. And what he had to say about Psalm 10 was this. He says, "If anyone wishes to disturb you, hold strongly to your confidence in the Lord and say Psalm 10. Now, this would be Psalm 11 in the King James or some other Protestant Bible, but Psalm 10 in the Septuagint. And it begins, "In the Lord have I hoped. How will ye say to my soul, flee unto the mountains like a sparrow?" The prophet King David is affirming his faith in the Lord, and he asked those who would advise him to panic and to head for the hills because they are focused on the actions of the wicked rather than on God, how they can say these things to him. He has his eyes on God. He knows better, but that's what people were advising him when he wrote this psalm. "For behold, the sinners have bent their bow. They have prepared arrows for the quiver to shoot down in a moonless night the upright of heart." So you have an image of somebody, and they're taking the occasion when the moon is not even out to lay an ambush for someone else. And when you don't have electric street lights like they didn't have back in the ancient times, nighttime was scary enough, but to have someone who would lay an ambush and would be ready to strike the righteous with an arrow while they hide in the dark, that would be a pretty scary thing. They've drawn their bow and they've taken their aim at the righteous, but they're unaware that God has a bigger bow than they do. And he's got that bow aimed at them, and he never misses. And we see this in Psalm 7, just a few psalms prior to this one. It says, "He, the Lord, hath bent his bow and hath made it ready, and on it he hath made ready the instruments of death. His arrows for them that rage hotly hath he perfected. Behold, he, the wicked, was in travail with unrighteousness. He hath conceived toil and brought forth iniquity. He opened a pit and dug it, and he shall fall into the hole which he hath made. His toil shall return upon his own head, and upon his own pate shall his unrighteousness come down." So we have an image of somebody who's digging ditches for other people to fall in, but what the Psalms say is that he's going to fall in it himself. And all the work, his labor that he's engaged in to try to bring down the righteous are going to bring down himself. "For what thou hast formed they have destroyed, and the righteous man, what hath he done? They have destroyed the foundations of order and justice which God has laid out for society." And the question is, what can the righteous do? We certainly live in a time where we have that sense that the order is being destroyed. There are people who are actively seeking to destroy it. They don't even make a secret about it. That's what their goal is. They want to destroy society so that they can create it into something that they say is going to be a whole lot better. But their track record of creating better societies is not very good. But that's the reality that we face in terms of what we can see and what we can observe. But if we want to know what can the righteous do, the question we should ask is, what have the righteous done in the past when they've been in similar situations? And when you read the lives of the saints, we see many saints who went through very chaotic times, but they remained faithful despite all that the evil people around them were doing to destroy justice and order, and they continued to do what was right regardless. Then it says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord in heaven is his throne." So he's just finished talking about this dark picture which the people who are telling him to flee to the mountains have painted, and now he's talking about why it is that he trusts in the Lord and he's not going to flee to the mountains. He says, "The Lord is in his holy temple." When we know that God is on the throne, we should have a confidence that we really believe that God is going to take care of things. There's nothing that catches him by surprise. There's nothing that he's unaware of. He reigns and he rules. There's a saying that says, "God sits high, but he looks low." And that's what the psalm says next. It says, his eyes are upon the poor man, his eyelids examine the sons of men. God sees all our distress. And he's not caught off guard. He's not unaware. It may seem to us sometimes like he's not paying attention to us, or that he doesn't do things that we would like him to do immediately to alleviate our distress. But we need to know that God is allowing everything to happen for a reason. We don't always know why at the time these things happen, but God does. And we just need to know that. We need to have that truth written in our hearts and have that confidence. The Lord examineth the righteous man and the ungodly, but he that loveth unrighteousness hateth his own soul. He will rain down snares upon sinners. Fire and brimstone and wind of tempest shall be the portion of their cup. So God examines both the righteous and the ungodly. So he's aware of both his servants and what they do, but he's also paying attention to the ungodly, and all are going to have to answer for their actions. And those who love sin, it says, hate their own soul. And that's because by choosing sin, they are choosing death. They're choosing death in this life, and they're choosing eternal death in the next life. The wicked think that they've laid snares for others, but God is going to rain down snares upon them. Think about that image. You know, we have someone who's laying a little trap thinking he's going to get you. God's raining down snares upon these people. And eternal fire is the award that awaits them unless they repent and turn from their evil path. For the Lord is righteous and hath loved righteousness. Upon uprightness hath his countenance looked. God hates sin because he is holy. He loves righteousness because he is righteous. And if we sincerely repent of our sins and are made righteous by grace through faith in him, he will make us righteous indeed. We're not called to just be righteous in name only, like many Protestants teach, but we're called to be righteous in fact, and God can make us so if we'll simply allow his grace to work in our life. And if we do, he will watch over us and he will guide us, as we hear in Psalm 5. Let all them be glad that hope in thee, they shall ever rejoice, and thou shalt dwell among them. And all shall glory in thee that love thy name, for thou shalt bless the righteous, O Lord, as with the shield of thy good pleasure hast thou crowned us. Amen.